I'm with Will Critchlow, and he's with Distilled. And the reason why I'm talking to Will today is because he has an agency that has created a product, and which seems to be, I would say, more common than not lately. We're seeing a lot of agencies that are kind of delving into this sort of SaaS model, where they have an idea or have solved a problem, and now they want to see if that's something that other people would find useful too. And so I'm really curious to know about your product, which is this option delivery network, which you're calling Distilled ODN. How did that come about?
Yeah, so the backstory is actually that we formed a small R&D team a few years ago. So I don't know if people know the full background of Distilled, but we've been going, it's 13 years now. We started in 2005. And some of it is just trying to refresh things, make sure we stay on top of our game, and so forth. But also specifically, there are a couple of other drivers. So Tom Anthony, who many of you may know, was one of our senior consultants in our London office, and really had a passionate desire to make sure that we were using technology effectively, right, to make us as good as we could be. And shortly after we formed the team, my co-founder, Duncan Morris, wanted to move out of people management and get back to some of his product and engineering roots. And so the small R&D team got started doing some technology stuff, and it was pretty undirected in the early days. And they worked on a few different things, some of which would have looked more like more embedded in our consulting, I guess, some of which looked more standalone. And the ODN kind of came out of that process. So there was some stuff that we'd wanted to do for a long time, and some things that we didn't even know if were possible. So some of it came out of just technology experiments to see if we could do them. And you mentioning kind of solving our own problems. I think what we were looking to do here was actually really solve our clients' problems. And obviously those are very closely related things, but specifically from this decade plus of consulting work, especially when we were working with bigger organizations, we'd seen these two problems crop up over and over and over again. And we built our consulting work around trying to solve them, but we thought we could go further with technology. And the two problems were, one was the challenge of getting things done. So I imagine this would be familiar to every consultant. We would come up with things that we thought or knew would improve organic search performance, recommend them to a client, tons of reasons why they should do it, and months or even years later, it would still not be done. And we, as consultants, we worked very hard to try and make sure that wasn't true, but it remained a big challenge. And then the second thing, which is very closely related, I think, was the challenge of measuring and proving organic search efforts, particularly on-site organic search efforts. So, you make some changes to your website and you hope that you do better as a result. But especially if things are changing all the time, in a world that's changing all the time, where your competitors are doing things all the time, Google's doing things all the time, it can be tough to prove that that particular change made that particular difference. And that made it less, I guess, less management friendly than we'd have liked. So those are the big things that we were attacking here.
So it's one thing to make something that you can use with your own clients. And I say that because the tools that you make internally as an agency can be pretty ugly. I mean, in other words, they just need to work and nobody on the outside world needs to see them. As far as you're concerned, it could be a command line tool. But as long as it's working for your clients and you're able to surface your clients really well, then you're good. However, making a product that now you might be selling to the world, that's a whole other ball game. I mean, it's a whole other type thing. What got you to make the decision to make it, public facing and to make it a product that somebody else could buy? And did that end up taking any resources away from, what you would be normally giving to your clients?
Yeah. So very good points in there. I think, so in our specific case for this particular product, we felt like it only really worked if it was a thing that could have its own customers, essentially. It's a big platform investment for us to build it, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. It was hard and complicated to build and maintain. And it wasn't going to be the kind of thing that could justify that investment just to improve things for our existing clients, in particular as well, because it needs deploying. So in the agency world, I find that, and we have a ton of these as well, I'm sure every agency has a ton of the internal tools that, like you mentioned, can be anything from a command line to a script to a, you know, Google Doc with a bunch of API calls. Like what it can be as ugly and as hacked together as you need. It gets things done. The point being, you get an output that is an answer or some data or some insight. In the case of our ODN platform, we need to actually deploy into our client's web stack. And so we knew that we were never going to be able to deploy for every single client that we had and that we work with. And so in order to make it work, just from a financial perspective, we knew we needed to be able to bring in new business for it. So that was a kind of partly necessity, right? If we were going to do this, we had to do it that way. But then also realizing that it kind of goes the other way around, or at least what we discovered since is that in our case, it kind of goes the other way around, that what we're building here is enterprise software. So I think there's a very big difference between building something mass market that's going to be used by hundreds or thousands of companies, or you know, has to be used very quickly at scale by tons and tons of people, and something like what we've built, which actually needs a lot of human input. And that could be from the client's teams, but actually we find that one of the reasons why we kept this business all together is that it often needs our consulting input. And so it's kind of gone the other way around. So rather than this being a tool that makes our consulting better, though it does it in cases where we get to deploy it for our existing clients, it's more the other way around. People who come in for the software platform need professional services. They need help designing and building tests, understanding the data. And that's where our consultants come in, kind of from that direction.
So that's really interesting, because that actually makes a ton of sense to me. Just from experience, from when, you know, I was running Raven, we did kind of try to make sort of an enterprise play. It didn't end up making sense for us because of sort of what we had built. But with enterprise, it's very high touch. I mean, it is what you're saying, is it's a lot of human
people
involvement.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, what that does is it obviously can bring in much higher revenue per account. But it also leverages the strengths of your agency. I mean, which is, you know, that's what you do. You're used to actually doing account management and working directly with a client, and every client is unique in their needs and what they need to have solved for themselves. And so in this case, it seems kind of like a perfect, you know, kind of fit.
Yeah. So, I mean, the end of this story is yet to be written, but this is the bet we're making, right? This is the play we're making. And I think this is the closest I've got to general advice in this area. And bear in mind that it's entirely through the lens of my experiences, and everyone's mileage may vary, is that I think agencies and consultancies are better placed to integrate with enterprise software than mass market software. I think if you build up a mass market tool because you spot a need that you or your clients have, and you build a tool around it, and then you scale it up, that's going to flip very quickly. It either has to spin out or stop doing consulting or kind of pivot to the tool. And I think we saw a whole bunch of those kinds of plays in our industry because that's a very different model. It's self-serve. It's all about the slickness of the user experience. It's all about superb documentation and superb ease of use. Whereas I think the thing that, like you said, the thing that we felt set up for from our personal experience and our organizational experience was we knew how to, you know, sell things at higher price points. We knew how to handle the contract process. We knew how to handle the onboarding, the client management, the client success, the ongoing professional services, the customization of all this stuff. That fit more closely in with us. And I feel at different times, I feel like I'm seeing the right way to do this for us. And at times I feel like I'm the contrarian, because various people have said to me, you know, we should spin out the software business and run it as a separate thing. It's quite possible they're right. But the view that possibly contrarian view that I'm taking is that these bits are stronger together. The kind of thing this software is needs professional services. It needs experts. It needs people like our consulting team. And vice versa, we feel like our consulting team is stronger having the differentiation of this kind of product alongside it and the data that we get from having run all these tests.
I think that you make a really good point. And just thinking back with Raven, I think that for us, we actually... And I'll just say myself, made poor decisions with the product when we discontinued the services side, when we discontinued the agency. But it was kind of a lose-lose in a way. It ended up being a win because we were like, oh, well, we don't have to be doing agency work. We actually just need to be focusing on the customer and talking to them. I mean, that was sort of the mistake we made for a little bit of time. And so that's kind of, yeah, I mean, so that's how you can overcome that. But one of the reasons why we made that switch was because we had a concern about kind of a conflict of interest. And that conflict of interest was, for us, you know, we weren't enterprise like the way you're taking ODN. Instead, we really were more anybody and everybody, you know, small to medium sized business, you know, agency that wanted to use this. And we started seeing our competitors come and use our software. And even though we knew we were trustworthy, it still left open that, should and can we trust this company to have all of our link building data, and because that was a key part of the software. And we started finding ourselves bidding for particular work or, for particular, to get a new client. And we would see that one or two of those other agencies were also customers of Raven. And so, it was one of those things where for us, it made more sense for us to go ahead and just go, is either going to be separate the company, into two, which is what you just kind of mentioned, or only do software. And so we chose to only do software, but how do you deal with that? I mean, how do you deal with that potential conflict of interest with what you're doing with ODN and then also, and then truly just the distilled, agency consultancy side?
Yeah. So I think it comes down to that enterprise piece, like you mentioned. We know the individuals, the points of contact, the companies of everybody who's on the platform. We've shaken hands with them, or at least virtually shaken hands with every single one and signed contracts with them all. And so we negotiate any potential conflicts case by case. And so, on occasion we're just starting to have some cases with agency partners where there's other agencies in the mix. So, we've sold a bunch of the times that the platform direct to the client company. And we're just starting to have some where we're pitching in with other agencies in various ways. And what we're doing there is just delineating the relationship between us and that other agency and saying, essentially what is and isn't acceptable. And it's typically around that specific client, right? So it's kind of saying what will or won't distilled the client services business do for this specific client who we're pitching to alongside some agency that does some other variations of client services. And sometimes that's none. We will just be the software provider and for as long as the contract runs, and in some cases, some period of time afterwards, we will agree not to sell any other services to them. In other cases, we might have carefully delineated, we might offer professional services around the platform, but not offer other consulting services, again, either for the duration of the contract or for some period thereafter. And I feel like it's just, I'm sure this will not always be an easy process, but it is it is possible to just discuss it in advance. And I think that's the key. Whereas it's not possible to do that when you're talking about thousands of people who are signing up self-serve.
Exactly. No, that's true. Would you say that ODN has been a good lead gen for you?
Yes.
That's a long pause.
It's been spectacularly expensive, lead gen. We wouldn't. It's generated a lot of leads for sure. I wouldn't recommend building enterprise software as a way of getting leads for a consulting business. No, the economics just don't stack up. Right, the software business has to be a business unit in its own right. Has to make money. Having said that, if you're going to have an enterprise software business and if it's going to make money, then there's a good chance you will get leads out of it one way or another. So yes, we have had people come in for the software who've ended up clients of the consulting business and customers of the software business, or, you know, one or the other, they come in for one, bought the other, or both. There is an integrated story to tell, and I certainly want to get better at telling that story, because I think it's not a coincidence that this consulting organization built that tool, right? We have in large part built this because this has come out of our philosophy of how we want to do consulting, right? We want to be effective, we want to be accountable, we want to know that it's working, we want to be able to prove it. And that kind of goes the other way as well, that the software is a differentiator for our consulting business in a world where any client services, any kind of business that you do with people is hard to differentiate, because at the end of the day, it is just people, and there are smart people all over the place, and we need to find a way to help our team differentiate over time. But I certainly wouldn't say it's ignoring the revenue that comes from the tool itself. It's definitely not a thing that you would do just to generate leads.
Yeah, that makes sense. So now that you've have some experience, you know, building and releasing, even if it's just it's enterprise, so it's a little more high touch type product. Now that you have experience with that, what would you suggest that any agency who's thinking about making a product, whether it be, you know, more of the mass market, anybody self-serve type thing or enterprise, what kind of questions should agencies be asking themselves as far as kind of whether or not that's something they should do or not?
Yeah, great question. I mean, it's a really tricky one, because I feel like we're really pleased and excited with how things are going right now. But it's also been a long road to get here, right? I think that probably the biggest overarching thing I would say is it takes longer, is harder, and costs more money than your most pessimistic forecast.
Isn't that the truth? I'm just telling you it was a struggle to get Raven off the ground.
Yeah. So, occasionally I like to amuse myself by going back and looking at old charts I drew in the early days of building the platform, predicting when it was going to hit certain financial milestones or break-even profitability, all kinds of stuff that, you have to laugh, otherwise you'll cry, I think. That's the overarching thing. Whatever you're going to do takes longer, costs more money, is harder than you think it's going to be. I think actually that a really concrete way of thinking about this is actually something that I got from Jason Lemkin, who writes at Sasta.com. So he's a VC, he's an investor, but he also gives a lot of advice to SaaS businesses. And there's some things that I feel like we had a head start on in and around this area. For example, pricing, right? So I think we were, from the outset, much better at understanding what value pricing looked like for bigger enterprises than some people who were just coming straight to the software game and had never sold services into enterprise, for example. There are some areas where we're behind and we had to learn how to catch up. But one of the things he talks about to founders who he's going to back, right? So these are people doing SaaS startups, and typically VC-backed SaaS startups, is you have to be in this for 7 years. And he says, I know you've got some kind of financial model of how, you know, you'll build the products in 6 months, you'll start selling it, you'll hit a million ARR in whatever time period, you'll get to this point, you'll hit profitability, and then you'll be able to sell in year three. And he's like, it just doesn't work like that. And the beauty of SaaS is it does compound, right? So if you're good at retaining your customers, then you can make more money every year. But like I said, everything takes longer, is slower, is harder, costs more money than you think it's going to. And so he talked about 7 years. And I think that's a really concrete thing. It's like, are you up for doing this thing for 7 years? Is a good question to ask yourself. Because if the answer is, then you should probably, like in the shorter time period, if you're talking about what you're going to do for the next 3 years, you'll probably make more money consulting. I think
that's really interesting. I mean, because, you know, the two main things I heard you say are this is going to be way harder and more expensive than you think it's going to be. And then the other one being this is a long-term commitment. This is not something that, oh, I'll just, you know, do this. It'll within 2 or 3 years, it could be awesome and just keep moving. The reality is that, like you said, this is more like a 5, 6, 7 year commitment. So strap in.
Yeah. And it's perfectly okay to not want to do that. And it's perfectly okay to say that's not an adventure I want to go on. But if it's something that you're thinking about, I think it's just, you know, these overnight successes aren't almost nothing. And even the things that really look like they are often come out of years and years of hard work and toil before the bit that you saw that was visible. And there are tons of examples of that.
It seems true in many aspects of what people do. I mean, like even as you were just describing that, I live in Nashville and tons of musicians come here and most of them don't go anywhere. But when we see bands that just kind of finally they make it, and everybody thinks they're new, you know, that this they're just magically amazing and just kind of showed up. These bands have been going for 10 years or more, and they already have a little tiny fan base. They already have multiple albums. But as far as we're all concerned, they have one new album, you know, and they're now the hot thing. But it's really interesting. That because I think that's the case in a lot of aspects, and it sounds like it's definitely the case in when it comes to creating a product, particularly if you are an agency or a consultancy that, you know, this is what you do and now I want to do that, you know, just don't expect to have instant success.
100% for sure. So, I mean, yeah, just to rattle off a couple of other bits of advice, get things in the hands of customers sooner. I think no matter how soon you're planning to show things to people, show them it sooner. There's lots of different bits and pieces of advice on exactly when you should be launching or releasing stuff. And I think there's a healthy tension between the lean startup end of things. And I know Rand has written about the, I can't remember exactly what he calls it, but the kind of slightly more polished version of that. But in private, in small rooms, show it to people, show stuff to people, get it in their hands as soon as possible, get people on board and paying for something as soon as you can. And I think that's both to make you build something better, or it's to make yourself build something better, it's to make you hold yourselves accountable to building something valuable. You avoid so many dead ends and wrong avenues. And also, I guess, you know, we bootstrapped this thing, or rather funded it from the agency, and I can talk a little bit about that. And you asked about the impact on the agency consulting business, but revenue helps. It doesn't necessarily solve all problems, but it certainly solves a wide range of problems. And it also it's a really concrete metric that you can start to drive in the right direction. And I think it's you're not building the next Twitter or Facebook or whatever else where usage is the thing, and you know having tons of free users and people on the platform is a great idea, especially if you're skewing enterprise. But I think probably even in the mid size, make sure that people value it enough to pay for it, because looking around that partly comes from our experience, but also just looking around the industry, I see that a bit too often that people are making stuff that they think is useful, and that, you know, they're right, it is useful. But will people pay for it? And getting them to actually cut a check or sign a contract or get their credit card out is the real acid test.
Yeah, it's very, very important. Hey, thank you for your time. I really appreciate
it. No, of course. if you have time, that I have thoughts on the final bit that was.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. I was worried that you might not have time. So if you have time, go for it.
So,
yeah.
So the final thought's been bouncing around in my head. I didn't quite get to answer it in one of my long streams of thought of consciousness. You asked about the impact on the rest of the business. And I think that, so I think we worked quite hard, very hard, to make sure that it wasn't an impact on our ability to offer great service and great advice to our consulting clients. It was quite kind of firewalled off from that. And I don't think it was really a hindrance on that side. I think it was a hindrance in two ways. One was purely financial, that over the last two and a half years, we've invested a ton of our profit into building this thing. And we did that rather than raise money or take dilution or whatever else. You know, again, it goes back to that. If you knew what you know now at the outset, you know, would we have committed to putting this much money into it? Who knows? We can't go back and rewrite history. But certainly for our scale and the amount of spare cash we have lying around, we could only afford to do it over time. Let's put it that way. And, you know, that's paying off now. But that's quite a deep trough that we've gone through. And so there are definitely other areas of the business that we underinvested in particular around new business, I think. So a lot of our new business effort went into the software side. And if we hadn't been doing that, we would have been investing much more heavily in you know, the sales and marketing side on the agency and consulting business. And different people do that in different ways anyway. But that's definitely an area where that we didn't, where there was some kind of compromise. And then I think everything just stems from there. Like, so it's either financial or it's that kind of like, where does the, particularly the sales firepower go? And I feel like we're coming out of both of those dips now. So, you know, the finances is working out because the investment is paying off and the thing is popular. But also the focus and sales thing is paying off because, I mean, you asked, is it lead gen? And like I said, you wouldn't do it for lead gen, but if you get to this point where you've put that investment in, then it certainly does start to generate leads. It certainly raises our profile. And I think it gives us a voice, a unique voice and a differentiation in the marketplace in a way that, you know, I mean, you've been around doing this as long as I have, but we've gone through many ebbs and flows of what it is that differentiates different organizations and Distilled included. And we've been through, you know, a variety of those evolutions that have just taken us in different levels of success, right? So whether it's who it is on the team, whether it's our partnerships, whether it's our conferences, whether it's our training and our speaking and our writing. And, you know, these are layers that build upon one another. But we're kind of, I guess, part of the bet we're taking here is that technology is one of the more sustainable and differentiated ones.
Yeah, and that you tell a very familiar story. if there was a very simple way of putting it, if you are going to bootstrap, then you're going to have to experience some degree of sacrifice. But if you're willing to, you know, stick through it and get it done, then it can be very beneficial to the company as a whole.
Yeah. And I mean, like know, I said, the end of this story has not been written yet, but it's certainly been super rewarding to build this thing and to see some of the results that it's driving and to, you know, partner with some of those early customers who trusted us or, you know, took a risk with us in the early days and see that pay off for them. And that has been super rewarding. Hopefully the fame and glory and financial rewards will follow from there, but we'll see how the end of the story is written, but we've certainly been having fun doing it.
Great. Thanks for taking the time to tell us about this.
Anytime. It's good catching up with you.